Okay, good morning. Let's begin. We're up to Paragimel. We're up to Paragimel Pasuk Aleph. Paragimel. We learn the Refuah Shleima. There are two twins that are having surgeries. These are infants. These are babies. Okay. The name is Gavriel Mordechai ben Naomi Friedel and Benjamin David ben Naomi Friedel. May they both have a Refuah Shleima. Okay. Let's begin the Paragimel Pasuk Aleph al Mishkavi Baleilos. Okay, so we began this pasuk last week. Upon my bed, valelos, in the dark of night, bikashti, I sought eis she'ohava nafshi, I sought the one whom my neshama loves. Bikashtiv, however, I was unsuccessful. Bikashtiv v'loy mitzasiv, I sought him out, but v'loy mitzasiv, I did not find him. The Mesudas of it says, al mishkavi ba'valelos, oida misaperes ma, Hanase be'oisan hayamim. We're continuing our discussion. Okay, so this Paragimel, and again, the chapter breaks in the Megillah. These are not from Jewish sources, so this is still a continuation of the previous parak, and we are continuing to discuss what happened in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt, and we received the Torah, and then we worship the eagle. And when we worship the eagle, the consequences were severe. Hashem separated himself from us. Oida misaperes mahanase boisayam. We are continuing our discussion what happened during those days. The toimar kishabo halayla. When it came night, kishabo halayla, halachti al mokam mufidas mishkavi balelos. When darkness came, I came to my bedchamber. I lie down on my bed. And there in my bedchamber, I would seek the object of my desire, seeking Hashem. I thought, because I thought that he would be there. In other words, I came home, Hashem disappeared, and my beloved, the object of my love disappeared, but I sent out a message, I sent out a text, please come home, return home. And when I came back from my hard day of work, I assumed that he would be home. That was my assumption. When I returned to my bedroom, I assumed that the object of my love would already have returned, because I already expressed my desire, my remorse over my lack of loyalty, disloyalty, and I assume that he would have returned. I thought that he already returned, and he's lying on my bed. This is what Klal Yisrael says. Aval, however, I was deeply disappointed. I came home from work, and I go into my bedroom, and my dodi is not there. My dodi did not return. Okay, so that's a very interesting interpretation of this pasuk, because I don't think it's the common way we understand this pasuk. It says here the whole emphasis is that Klal Yisrael, the Isha, assumes that when she will come home from her chores, from her errands, from her work, and will come home, she will find that her husband is home. Even though there was a scuffle, there was some fighting that took place between the two the previous night, but all of the threats that he's going to leave her will not really come true. And I assume that, you know, it'll be business as usual, just forget about our argument, and we'll just go on. I come home at night, and guess what? My husband is not there. He actually carried out his threat that he's going to leave me. And therefore, I was deeply disappointed. What is the Nimshal Loimar? This is to say, I thought, even though I have sinned, I worshipped the eagle through the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, by Echal Moshe, this past week's parasha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would immediately return to Klal Yisrael. Aval loy kein hoya, that's not the way it works. Ki Omar ki loy ela bikirbecha, Hashem said to Moshe that I'm not going to ascend with you. Instead, I'm going to send the Malach. I will no longer rest my Shechina with Klal Yisrael.
The interesting difference in Meshpatim, he says he's going to send the Malach, Moshe doesn't complain.
Immediately, right. Later he complains.
blame. No, but the difference is, the Abarbanel points out that the difference is when it says Ki Eileach Malachim Lifonecha, it says Lishmar Kol Hadorech. The second line doesn't say that. In other words, you could lead the way, but you're not looking behind. You don't care what happens. All right, listen, you had an accident, but Lishmar Kol Hadorech is he's turning around and watching as things go along. Well, Aviachol Amokol Masherach, he knows. I'm going to make sure you get there. Second time, he just says, I'll lead the way. It's up to, you know,
there's no shmira.
I'll give you, you know, a tour guide.
But the shmira, right, the shmira is not there. Interesting. That element is lacking in the second process.
You know,
that's an interesting point. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi is very similar. Rashi al Mishkavi Balelos, but Sarli Laila, Rashi may clearly defines as a marshal for Tsar, a time of darkness. Sheyashavti afela, I sat in the darkness. Now what are we referring to? What exactly is the Laila? Rashi says, Kol Shloishim Ushmoina Shana Shahoyu Shol Nizoifim. The Laila refers to 38 years when Hashem did not rest his Shechina, where Klai Yisrael were in a state of incommunicado, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he distanced himself from us during these 38 years. Bikashtiv, I would seek Hashem Eloi Mitzasiv, ki einenu bikirbuchem, Rashi calls the Pasuk, I will no longer be among you, ki lo yele bikirbucha, I will no longer ascend bikirbucha in your midst, I'm going to send in my place a malach. Okay, so pretty much Rashi and the Mitzvah are saying exactly the same thing. The only difference is that the Mitzvah Rashi adds in that we're discussing the 38 years. I think going to the Mitzvah, since it's immediate, the Balelos means the immediate aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. That's called the Laila. And they expected, so that, see, they're not the same, they're very different. According to random Mitzvah, it's the immediate aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. They expected after Moshe Vayichal Moshe Esmei Hashem Elokov, immediately Hashem would return, but no, that did not happen. So it's discussing that immediate moment. According to Rashi, we're discussing the entire 38 years of the Midbar, not the first and not the last, because those 2 years the Shechina returned, and during those 38 years the Klal Yisrael were constantly in a state of bakosha for Hashem to return, but Hashem did not return. Now let's see the Targum. Targum is a bit elaborate.
Except for the portion when they say the 38 years of silence was after the Chet HaMeraglim.
Didn't happen right away.
Right.
Didn't happen.
Yeah,
all
that was the
Makkah B'Patash.
That's right.
That was a real Makkah B'Patash, because there was still hope. Because Eichal Moshe, the Shechina didn't come back after Yom Kippur. They built a Mishkan, and then shortly thereafter, they wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael in Chanami. So it was. So you have to add the Meraglim. Good morning. Okay, let's take a look over here at the mid. Yeah.
How long after the Eagle was the Meraglim?
Second year, right? It was right away. Right away.
It was like a year later.
Yeah. It was. They built the Mishkan. They did the Eagle the first year, and the Mishkan was up for Chodesh Nisan, the beginning of the second year, Aleph Nisan of the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Mishkan was up, and right after that,
Mara talks about how Yomim Yemei Bikurei Anovim. That's how we know the season.
Right after Pesach of the second year.
It was a year later.
A year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, Yitzias Mitzrayim was on Pesach, and the Mishkan was already was up exactly 1 year later, the first day of Nisan. Then it was Pesach, and right after was Shlach Lecha Anoshim Losuris Aretz. 1 year later. Okay, now we come to the Targum, Targum Amaris. I'm in Rus. My mistake. This sefer has two parts. Oh yeah. It's like the two people they were learning with Sechta Ervin. So Ervin did. So they were learning together all the dafim until like, I think where does it get to? Chaf something, and then one says it's time for a siyum. Ervin has what? Has like 90 daf? I don't remember. And Erchin, Sechta Arochin, has like 20 something daf? 30? So they got the daf, they got the last daf Arochin. Now it's time for a siyum. What are you talking about? We have 30 years ago. Took them 30 daf to realize they're learning two different mesachtas. One is learning Ervin, and one is learning Arochin.
Just a little
difference. The days in the Chaf.
At least somebody knows. I once scared when I was a kid. I realized it myself. my eyes wandered in the middle of the Sedra. I skipped a line, and I caught it myself. And I went back, and I was thinking to myself the whole time, nobody noticed.
Yeah,
I said, it's a rough deal. Nobody's listening.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're salivating with the schnapps.
It shows how much they trust you.
You're right, yeah.
Okay, let's take a look at Paragimel Pasuk Aleph in the Targum. V'chad chazo, it was when chazo Amabes Yisrael the istalaku anane yikara me'ilo vehod, when they saw that the Anani Yaakov departed from them. Uchelela, now over here, uchelela. Over here in this girsa, in this text, it has over here uchelela.
Yeah.
That's what you have also?
Yeah.
Now, I saw another version. I don't remember where I saw this. They're also quoting the Targum, but there it made it very clear it's Uchalela. Because that's what the Pasuk says. Al Nishkavi Balelos. Upon my bed in the evening. It was like dark. It was like Uchalela. It should not be Uchalela. Uchalela means, within the good means, it was complete. What does the word completion have to do over here with this expression? More precisely, it means when the Bnei Yisrael saw that the Anani HaKavo departed, Uchalela, it was like darkness. That's what the Pasuk says, Al Mishkavi Balelos. Okay, whatever it means, something along those lines. And here we have some very, very interesting things. No, maybe not. That was the Gersa, the other Gersa. It means night. But in this Gersa, I have Uchalela de Kudsha Is Yehev Lohon B'Sinai. It's probably more accurate what it says here. And the crown, the Keser, at Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael received two crowns. The Ke'echad Keneged Nasav and Keneged Nishma. Uchalela de Kudsha Is Yehev Lohon B'Sinai Is Netel Minhon. The crown that was given them at Har Sinai was taken away from them. The Ishtaru Chashichin. Oh, here is the Ram. I'm all confused. The Ishtaru Chashichin Kilelia. And now they remain dark, like they remain dark like the night. Hashem told them, remove the crowns from upon your head. You're no longer deserving to wear these crowns. Uve'o yos kililo dekutshu. And then, at that moment in time, they sought the crown of the kutsha, the istalik minhon, v'loy ashkachu, and it was not to be found. So here we have a very interesting expression. Until now, both in the Mitzudos and in Rashi, when we translate the word bikashti eisha ohava nafshi, what does that refer to? It refers to the ribonoi shalolam. I look for Hashem, and Hashem was not to be found. Hashem departed. The Shechina departed. The Targum says that the ohava nafshi was the keser, not Hashem. They had a great delight, enjoyment in wearing these crowns, these ornaments. It represented fulfillment, represented reward, satisfaction that they accomplished something. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to remove the crowns from upon your head, it was taken away from them. These crowns were no longer to be found. So it's a very insightful Targum that has a very unique translation of Bikashti Eish Ohava Navshi Uvo Yos Kelilo De Kutsha. I wanted the crown of holiness. The Istalak Min Hoin V'lo Ashkochuhi. It was not to be found. Almost sounds like it was a magical crown. They had it, they took it off, and it disappeared. Completely disappeared, it was not to be found. Okay, now the Midrashim, they take the word Bikashti Eish Ohava Nafshi refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. A third interpretation, Hu Shuava Nafshi. Moshe, we know in this week's parasha, he removed himself from Klal Yisrael. He took his tent and he pitched it far away. And if you wanted to seek, if you wanted to find Moshe, you had to go all the way out there. But even when you went all the way out there, Moshe was not available. And Rashi in this parsha Kisita says, Moshe took his cue from Hashem. If Hashem distanced himself from Klal Yisrael, Menudeh L'Rav, Menudeh L'Talmud. Moshe says, I also have to follow in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem does not want to have dealings with Klal Yisrael. I also have to separate myself from Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash says that's what the Pasuk here means. Moshe, it's a beautiful expression. Moshe was she'ohava nafshi. You know, this Rav is always a love-hate relationship. Anyone in the business knows it's not so simple to be a rabbi. The miracle of surviving Rabbanus is that the Balabatim, who are your enemies, should not all be your enemies at the same time. Every Balabas in your career is sometimes on your side and sometimes against you. So the miracle is all of the Balabatim shouldn't be against you at the same time. It's like rotating chairs. If they're all against you at the same time, then you're finished. And to expect they should all be on your side at the same time, that's impossible. That doesn't exist. But
why did Korach pick that moment to stand up in Moshe?
Yeah.
Because in Shlach before he said Yitami Yisrael Yemusu, he condemned everybody to death in the Midbar.
So they were all against him.
Right time to strike.
Frightening, okay? So this is what it means over here. It means over here, Shav Nafshi means Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one she'ohava nafshi. Okay, there are a few interesting verlochi on this pasuk we mentioned, which we learned last week, Meshkavi Balelos, Bikash the Eishav Nafshi, Bikash the Mitzasif. Why? Why were we unsuccessful in finding a Kaddish Baruch Hu in times of Golis? It's because Al Mishkavi, it was for selfish reasons. Selfish reasons, it was for my Mishkav. My Mishkav. It should have been, I should have wanted to seek a Kaddish Baruch Hu al Mishkavai. When Hashem is separated from Klal Yisrael, the Shechina is in a state of great pain. And we don't realize that. But that's what Chazal tells us is true. And our Ikar Tefillah should be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain, for his Tzar, to be alleviated. Kaviyachal, whatever that means. And if we take and we focus on our own selfish motives, our own private needs, that's not what Hashem wants, and that's not going to bring the gula. It's because it was Mishkavi Balelos. That's why Bikashti Esrav Nafshi V'loi Mitzasif. It was for selfish motives, that's why we were unsuccessful. Had it been for Al Mishkavoi Balelos, had it been for Hashem's Mishkav, Hashem's Shechina, the resting of Hashem's Shechina that is in Tsar, then it would have been the other way around. It would have been that we would have been successful. Okay, there's another idea, and this is a very, very somber idea. It refers to death. That a person, in this class refers to when the neshama is no longer in this world. When the neshama has already gone to Shemayim, and the person is lying, like we say in the Kalmale, V'yanucho, V'yanucho al mishkavo b'shalom. May the soul rest upon his resting place in peace. That resting place is called Laila. It's dark. Death is dark, because in death there is no opportunity to do mitzvos, to Torah mitzvos. So the pasuk says that when the neshama comes to Ilavu Emes and it's lying al mishkavo in the darkness of night, bikashti, the neshama says, oh, now let me shteig. Now that I have peace, I no longer have the tirad of parnasa, I no longer have all the nisyonos, now I'm going to learn the daf yomi, now I'm going to daven, now I'm going to be metaher my neshama. Bikashti, eish ova nafshi, I'm going to seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the olam ha'emes. But guess what? It's too little, too late. It's a very, very frightening pasuk. Bikashtiv, there in death, in the olam ha'emes, al mishkava balelos, I sought Hashem, but v'loy mitzosif, I did not find Hashem. The only place where a person has an opportunity to be mitahir his neshama and to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, on the Mishkav of the Yoim. This world is called Yoim. Death is called Laila. Frightening, frightening pasuk, where you the only time to become close to Hashem is here in this world. Okay, now there's another very interesting vart. This is a vart for a psychologist. Psychologists tell us, this is the only mafarshim, they quote this, they cite this idea, is we know there's something called in our vernacular, the Freudian slip. You put a person when you catch them off guard. we catch person off guard and you get a jerk subconscious reaction, you really know what the person really is holding. How can a person test himself to determine where he's holding? The answer is, what is the first, try this, I tried this morning, it's very interesting. What is the first thought that comes to your mind when you wake up in the morning? So you're a good, you're a holy person. The first thought, when you wake up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off, and you wake up, what's the first thought that comes to your mind? If it's parnasa, it's money, it's what am I going to eat today, how am I going to enjoy myself today, that says it all, where you're holding in this world. If the first thought that comes to your mind in the morning is, what daf am I learning today? What kind of davening will my davening be today? If the first machshavas that come to your mind, there are spiritual goals that you have for this day, it's a good sign. It shows that your neshama really is aligned, is in tune with your spirituality. But if the first thing that comes to mind is, what's for lunch? What's for dinner? What's on television tonight? If these are the first machshavas that come to your mind when you wake up in the morning, it's a problem. It's a problem. So that's what it's...
So I don't want to get up.
What? Yeah. That's a bigger problem. That's a bigger problem. Depression. Okay, that's a very serious problem. You don't have any desire to live. No joke. Serious problem. Everyone is depressed to some degree. Yeah, that's right. It's a very big problem. There's no serious matter. But this is what Chazal's Freudian slip. Chazal, when he wanted to do a... So we have stories in the Gemara where people wanted to know where they're holding, so what would they do? They would go into an oven and they would see if they would be incinerated. That was their test. I'll throw myself into a furnace. If I'm burnt to a crisp, okay, that means I'm not a tzaddik. If I come out alive, I'm a tzaddik. That's what's in the Gemara. People would test themselves by doing these bizarre things. Okay, obviously, we're not on that level. We're not on that level, but what is the Freudian slip? And here it is. You wake up in the morning, try to keep track. What is the first thought that comes to your mind? And that's what it says, Al Mishkavi Balelos. On my Mishkavi Balelos, Bikashti Eish Rava Nafshin. I don't really know how it reads into the Pasuk, but everyone said, I saw this in a few places, this Vart. I guess, I sought who my Neshama loves. I tested myself. You have to be very liberal reading this pasuk. The idea is, when you're lying on your bed in the middle of the night and you wake up, you're in that very first moment, you're not faking, you're not a faker. Unfortunately, it's human nature to always put on a show. You walk around and you put on a facade. You make believe who you're not. It's a good thing because you make believe who you want to be. Eventually, you'll grow, you'll develop into that role. There's a very beautiful expression from the Alta from Slabotka. I don't know the exact words. Maybe you'll figure out. It's good words that someone once complained to him that your talmidim, all of us, you know, talking about the major talmidim, they're all faking him. They're all faking the Alta. In other words, the Alta of Slabotka. The Talmidim, it appears that they present themselves before the Alta of Slabotka as being, you know, holy people, good people, tzaddikim. They're not such tzaddikim. They're a faker. Someone complained to the Rebbe. They're a bunch of fakers, your Talmidim. They make believe they're tzaddikim, but really, you know, behind the scenes, they're doing things that are not 100%. So the Alta said something along the lines, I let them deceive me. I allow them to deceive me until the time that... What do you say? I let... Something along those lines, but it was a very sharp expression. I can't remember the... I allow them to deceive me until the time that they are deceived by me, until the time that they realize I deceive them. I don't know, but the basic point is, Adarabba, I want them to deceive me. I know they're fakers, I know that, but that's my technique. I let them think they're great people because that way they eventually will grow into greatness. They will grow into greatness. I pretend, that's right, you're a tzaddik. And if you make believe you're a tzaddik, if you get lucky, one day you'll become a tzaddik. But if you know from the very beginning you're not a tzaddik, you're a nothing of a nothing, then you'll never grow. You have to strive for things that are above you, that are greater than you, and maybe one day you will develop, you will turn into what you want to be. That's really the difference between the Slabodka and the Vardik. The Vardik, you're a nothing, you are a nothing, you were a nothing, you always will be a nothing. Slabodka, you're great. But you can't be great, you're not really great. If you have hasagas of greatness, if you'll get lucky, you'll grow into becoming a great person.
Nothing, but then they build you up.
They build you up.
They destroy you first, then they build you up.
We're in the Vardik.
Yeah.
In the Vardik.
I would hope so.
I don't know. The Vardik was pure Musa. Pure Musa. Who, it was, it's a very different Mahalach. Okay, doesn't...
What should say on Alti Tzadik Harbe, of course, if you set your standards so high, then...
You'll fail.
Step, you get down on yourself.
You'll never... You have to be able to have realistic goals. Realistic goals. So here as well, this refers when a person is lying on his bed balelos, so when you're lying on your bed at night and you wake up suddenly you awake in the middle of the night, a machshava is going to come to your mind. That machshava is the true essence of who you are. Bikashti, eshuava nafshi, at that moment when I woke up in the middle of the night, I would seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But I did not find him. You know, want to know why I did not find him? It was because at that moment in the middle of the night when I woke up, when I was in a true state of being, I was not putting on a show. I realized I'm a faker. I don't really want HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just care about myself. I care about my own hide. I don't care about the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the moment in time, the Freudian slip. Moment in time. Okay, let me just... I think I had some other things. I just forgot. Give me a moment. I have it here. Yeah, okay. By the way, this is an excellent sefer. This thing called Shalom Rav. You might say Shalom Rav. The sefer, you might say Shalom Rav, they have on Shir HaShirim. They have like 2-3 volumes on Nach. And this really has been for me a blessing. It's very hard to find Sfarim that, you know, everyone is different. To find the sefer that you have satisfaction from. You have, you know, Efchime. Different strokes for different folks. Okay. I'm going to sit a little over here. Okay, now I'll tell you here, this is a Vart. Now this one is not directly related to the past. The theme is related, but it goes back to what we said. This is a very powerful Vart. Very powerful from Rav. From Rav Yitzchok Charif. Hagoyim Rav Yitzchok Charif, the Av Bezn of Sambor. The Av Bezn of Sambor. It was a famous Rav Yitzchok Charif. You know his biography. You know about him.
His friend, Hungary.
You went to Cheder with him.
He
was getting a shiur when he was 11, 12, and lunchtime, one of the Rosh Hashidahs looked out the window, saw him riding on a goat.
And a goat.
He says, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't forget, I'm still a kid."
Okay, let's go back to the idea that this is a Vart to remember. It's a very sharp Vart.
What's his name? Sharp.
Chadif. It's a very sharp Vart, and it fits into the idea that we spoke last Friday, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the Shir. Why is it that we have been unsuccessful in bringing the Geula? What's the reason? It says the Pabikashli, this is really the story of Gullus. We're lying around, we're roaming, we are floating in Gullus. And Bikashti, every day we daven, we do everything, we do Torah, mitzvos, Bikashti, eis, asher, eish, ova, nafshi. Bikashti, v'lo mitzvah siva, we always feel we have been unsuccessful thus far. So the pasuk ends, we mentioned this, it's because al mishkovi. We're not being mispaddled for the right reasons. More or less, our tefillos are for selfish reasons. We want parnasa, we want good health, we want shidduchim, we want all the good things there are to enjoy in this world. You have to realize, you have to be mispalel not for our private needs, you have to name a spanel for the Shechina. Hashem is in a state of tzar that he has been separated from us. Our ikra tefillah should be for the tzar Hashechina. I know it sounds like a very high level. It's very difficult for us to relate to such a concept, but there's definitely truth. There's definitely truth to this. So here is this interesting vart. It says in the pasuk, we know that there's something called a creature called the ayol. The ayol and the ayil, the ayolah and the ayil. The Chazal tell us as follows. Chazal, this is a very fascinating medrash. I'm sure you've heard it by now. It's in the medrash in Tehillim, in the Mizmar Chav Beis. Keli Keli Lama Azavtani. I'll read you the words of the medrash. B'shoshecho ayolah tzimeyah. When an ayolah. Good morning. When ayola means a female ayol, that's some type of wild, a creature similar to a tzvi, to a deer. Kasha ye'ochel ha'tzvi v'ho ayol. Not an ayol. An ayol is a domesticated animal. There's an ayol. It's the same letters. It's the same letters. A hind. Okay.
A gazelle.
A hind. It could be, we don't even really know what it is. Could be it's some type of mystical animal, we don't know what it is. But whatever. Kasha ye'ochel ha'tzvi v'ho ayol. I don't think we really know what a tzvi is. Tzvi we translate as deer. But I think it's been proven that a tzvi is not a deer. It's a certain variety, it's a certain min, whatever it is. That's tzvi v'ayol. And here there's a male, there's the ayol, and there's the ayolah. Naftali ayolah shalucha. So it says in the Medrash, b'shosh shahay ho ayolah tzimeya, when it's thirsty, hi choferes guma, umachneses karnecho l'soicha v'goya, and it cries out, When it's thirsty, it goes. Really, the medrash, the way there's another medrash that elaborates when there's a drought. We'll come to it in a few moments. But here it says when it's thirsty, it digs a pit. It digs a pit with its horns and it buries. It presses its horns into the ground and it cries to Hashem. The ayolah is a spiritual creature. It has spiritual sensitivities. It knows that there's a koyach hatfilah. It uses its horns to do so. Umiyad hatohoim mal lamayim, the tohoim, the depth brings forth water. Shenemar, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. That's where the Midrash is cited. Ke ayol ta'aroig al afike mayim, like an ayol that is ta'aroig, cries out. It cries out on the springs of water. Now this pasuk, it says ke ayol. It's interesting over here that the Midrash over here is saying b'shoshecho ayolah. When the ayah, the female, and the medrash cites the pasuk that describes the man. The reason why the medrash is citing this pasuk in reference to a female, even though it says the word ayah, is because there's a grammatical inconsistency in this pasuk. It says ke ayol, which is clearly lashon zohar, ayol, ta'arog. Ta'arog with a tav is feminine. So it doesn't say ke ayol ya'arog, not ta'arog. So there's a grammatical inconsistency over here. So in fact, when the Medrash describes this mitzias that it cries out on the afike mayim, on the streams of water, it in fact uses the feminine form ta'arog. Okay, now there's another Medrash. What?
Might be explained, as some would explain it, that
it's the
in a weakness, no, yeah. When you're in a state of weakness, that's when the feminine is used.
When you're in a state of weakness, then we describe the masculine as the feminine. That's a very nice answer, very good answer. Or I guess you could say, there's maybe another answer, is that sometimes we interchange. We're describing the min, the creature. The creature, even though there's a male and a female, but sometimes we want to describe the totality of the min, we describe it in the masculine. Okay, it's something that Rav Yitzchak Harif, he takes note that there is over here a grammatical inconsistency, and he first cites this medrash. That is a Gemara, a Beferish Gemara in Baba Basra, which was more familiar to many of us. And the Gemara there says, in the Gemara of Baba Basra, of Tezayna Bebeit, Sha'ayola Rachma Tsar. Ayola, from all of the creatures in creation, has the most narrow womb. And that is a problem when the time comes to give birth. The womb is not large enough, the opening is not large enough to allow the baby, the fetus inside, to depart. Shayola rachmot tsar uvishosh shekaras leledes. And when the time to give birth arrives, yeshlo yisurim gidoylim. It has intense birth pangs because the opening is not wide enough to allow the baby to pass. The Tzoyekes, and what does it do? This creature, as you mentioned, is spurious, is a sensitivity to spirituality. And it recognizes the only one that can save it from this pain is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It cries to Hashem, Ach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazmin Lo Darukoin. Hashem sends this spider. It's a certain type of spider, which has an enzyme. And Shemakisha Bebeis Arechem, it bites, it stings this Ayala in the womb. Umoyshaches HaVolod, and through that sting, it somehow it extracts some type of enzyme, and it pulls out the vlad. Shenemar choylel ayolos tishmar. Hashem guards the birth pangs of the ayolos. Hashem knows when ayolos is about to give birth. Hashem knows that it cannot give birth naturally. It needs assistance. Hashem miraculously sends a certain type of snake, a certain type of creature to bite the womb of the ayala, and that causes the baby to the opening to widen somehow, and the fetus comes out. Two mamari chazal, incredible manab. There's another chazal which really elaborates more about the ayal, and the ayal tells us that when there's a drought for the entire world, all of the creatures of the forest, they approach the ayal. And they say to Ayol, you know, we're about to die. We're living, the situation is dire, and we need water, and we know that you have connections to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we ask you to be our Shaliach Tzibor. The Ayol is a Shaliach Tzibor of all of the creatures of the forest. It davens to Hashem so that it should rain. And the Medrash we quoted there, it elaborates upon that, B'shosh Ayol Tzimeya, it's not just when it is thirsty, it's when all of the creatures in the forest have no water to drink. They approach the Ayol, and the Ayol is the Shliach Tzibor. It's mispalel to Hashem, and rain comes forth in the merit of the tefillah of the Ayol. Okay, so we have over here, now here is what is the brilliance of Rav Isaac Hanif. He says, what happens if this female Ayola is giving birth at the same time when there's a drought? All of the creatures of the forest approach the Ayala and they say, we're about to die. We're desperate. Please, be our Shliach Tzibor. Pray to Hashem that it should rain. Put your horns into the ground that it should rain. And at this moment in time, it just happens to be that the Ayala goes into labor. She goes into labor. She's now about to give birth. So now she has a double pain. She has the pain of labor, the intense pain, which Chazal tell us, Shomer Cholel Ayolos Tishmor, the birth pangs of the Ayolos Hashem guards. When Ayol is in pain, she prays, and the Ayol also is. I'm just going another pause from Iyof. And now the Ayol is also acting as a Shliach Tzibur that Hashem should bring rain to spare them from dehydration. Which of the two tefillos is the Iker? The Ayol in this unique situation has to pray for two different reasons. It's like on Yom Kippur. When you say Ayei Mekoyim Kivoidoi in the Artskol Machzor, there's a little thing on the side, an inset, that when the Shliach Tzibur sings Ayei, you can be mispalel for one of three things: either for children, either for Ruach HaKodesh, or for Oisher, or for wealth. What are you mispalel for? Ayei Mekoyim Kivoidoi. You have a choice. Would you like to have good children? Would you like to have Ruach HaKodesh? Or would you like to be an oisher, be a multi-millionaire, win the Powerball? You have a choice. You can't have them all. You can't be mispalled. There's not enough time to be mispalled.
That's why you're good. You have Ruach
HaKodesh.
Not necessarily.
That's why.
Not necessarily.
You have a choice.
Make the mistake of thinking Ruach HaKodesh, you control it.
No, you don't.
God lets you see what He wants and let you see.
You have a choice.
That's,
you know,
why you elongate the ayah.
This, you know, he used to ask this question. This is what they say. They say that Rav Hutner, when he would interview a new boy to come to the yeshiva, a boy who wanted to come to the yeshiva, and he would go for his interview, his exam, he would ask them this question: What are you mispalel for? You have a choice. What are you, and that would trigger a conversation. And you put someone on the spot, and you have only 10 seconds to answer the question, you've got to give an answer, it reveals, it's a Freudian slip, it reveals where are you holding, and it opens up a very interesting topic, conversation, a spiritual conversation, where are you holding in life, you get a sense of who the person is, and it's a learning experience for the person. It's a very brilliant technique. Okay, I mean, I once told this to a very wise person, very clever. So, without as opposed to a woman, and without skipping a heart, without skipping a beat, she said to me, "All three. What's the shaila? Mistahal for all three. Why can't you be mistahal for all three? That's also a good answer. I mean, so why are there three? All right, well, let's put it aside.
You elongate the ayah, but you.
Right. That's what it says. But it's supposed to be a ganze nigun. You have to go for like a long nigun in order to give people the time to see what to say this tefillah. Okay, but whatever it is. So here the ayala is now being put on the spot. The ayala is currently in birth, is in the process of leida, and is a drought, and it's being tasked to serve as a shliach tzibur. What is the ayala going to be mispalel for? Is it going to be mispalel for its own personal tsar, that she is in pain, she wants to give birth, or will she be mispalel for the tzibur, that it should rain, and everyone should have water, and everyone should survive? So Isaac Hanif says, well, let's forget about the ayal, let's talk about the male, the ayal. The ayal never gives birth. The ayal will never ever have this nisayon where it has to pray. We don't have a chazal that the ayal needs to pray for birth. The only time the ayal prays is when the ayal is the shliach tzibur for rain. So the ayal is only praying for the community. It's not praying for its own personal needs. It's praying for the tzibur. So the pasuk over here says an incredible chiddush. What was our original question? That it's grammatically inconsistent. It says ki ayal ta'aroig alafike mayim, like the ayal it loshon zohar ta'arog feminine. She prays like the ayal, the male ayal, as she prays along the streams of water. Shav Isaac Hariv says, no, what it means is we're discussing the female. And the female is in birth, and there's a famine, both at the same time. And the female puts aside her personal tsar, and only prays for the tzibur, just like ke'ayol, just like the ayol only prays for the tzibur, because the ayol has nothing else to pray for. The ayol is not a creature which gives birth that is in pain. So the female ayolah is ke'ayol, like the male ayol, and is ta'arog. And she, the female, like the male, prays alafike moyim for streams of water. In other words, she focuses on the tzibur and puts on the back burner her own private tzaros. So that ties in to this pasuk. This pasuk, why is it motzasi bikashti v'loy mitzasif? I seek Hashem, I don't find. You know why? In Golus, there are two things we need to be mispalel for. We need to be mispalel for survival. There's no question about it. Where it's a dangerous world. Klal Yisrael is in a dangerous matzah. We need to pray for our own personal needs, our survival, parnasa, shaduchim, health, hulu v'hulu. Everything that we have to pray for. But we also have to pray in Golus for the tsar of the Shechina, for Hashem's pain that he has been separated from us. What is the ikar? What is the tafel? Is it selfish needs or is it Hashem's needs? Well, let's look at the ayala. Ayala, when she is in labor and there's also a famine, she has two needs, private needs and needs that are not private, needs of the tzibur. What does she pray for? Who does she pray for? She abandons her need, she puts that aside, and she, the ayala, is ki-ayal. She behaves like the male ayal who only has to pray for the tzibur. Tarog, she also prays alafike moyim. If we would behave like this ayala, in a state when she is in the matzav of tzar, then Mashiach would come, then the Gula indeed would come. It's because it's Mishkavi, we're praying for our bed, and we're not praying for Mishkavoi, we're not praying for Hashem's bed. The Ikar is our selfish needs and not the Hashem's needs. Okay, let's go now to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Mm-hmm. Akuma nova saiva v'yir. So the Isha, this Isha says, I will now get up, I will rise up, and I will circle the city. I will go to the markets, and I will go to the streets. Avakasha, I will seek a shava nafshi. I will seek who my neshama loves, the object of my love. And then she reveals to us, Bikashtiv v'loy mitzasif. I sought out Hashem, but I have failed once again. So it did not work. On lying on my bed, I realized, when I was lying on my bed, I realized that was a failure. You are now going to step two. She's more active. She does a status. So you would interpret this pasuk versus the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk is, you know, there are two different mahalchim and klal yisrael about bringing the geula. There are those that told, do nothing. You don't do any hishtadlus whatsoever with regard to the geula. You just sit in the Beis Medrash and you learn and you daven and you do mitzvahs, and in Shemayim Hashem will appear and the geula will happen supernaturally. And then there are a very significant people, group in Klal Yisrael that doesn't believe in that mahalach. They believe if you want Mashiach to come, you have to take a very active role in bringing Mashiach. You have to establish a state of Israel. You have to have an army. You have to negotiate with the enemies in order to acquire the Har HaBayis and build the Beis HaMikdash. You have to have a hands-on approach to bring Mashiach. Even making a Mashiach, even appointing a Mashiach, Lubavitch, a big part of Lubavitch is, Ashkoff is, you expect Mashiach to come out of Shemayim. You expect it's going to come out on a white horse. No, you find a person in this generation who fulfills all of the categories, who fulfills all of the conditions that are mentioned in the Rambam, and that person is roy to be Mashiach, and all there needs to be is haskama sa'am that he is Mashiach. It's a very valid approach to bring Mashiach. Either you can just sit and do nothing and just wait for Mashiach to come out of the sky, or no, you have to appoint a person, you will be the Mashiach. Let us all come together, everyone in Klal Yisrael will come together and find the person who we believe has fulfilled all the conditions that are necessary to be called Mashiach according to the Rambam, and he is Mashiach. And we will go and we will ascend to Eretz Yisrael, we'll all buy tickets, we'll all buy lei, we'll all make aliyah, and we'll all live in Eretz Yisrael, we'll buy the Har HaBayis, and we'll figure out, according to halacha, we'll make a halachic decision exactly where to build the Beis HaMikdash, even though there's so much disagreement where exactly it's Makom HaMikdash. Halacha will tell us, you go Basaroyf, you have a Sanhedrin, we'll make a decision, whatever the decision is, the Shechina will be masking, Torah Lav HaShemayimi. You can bring Mashiach al Derech HaTeva. You can bring Mashiach al derech hateva. This is really Lubavitch. Lubavitch brings, what are you sitting around? Mashiach's going to come out of the sky? Now, everyone, a very significant chunk of Klal Yisrael holds, yeah, that's right. That's our emunah pshuta. Mashiach will come out of the sky. You don't go hishpat yeschem benos yushvayim into irvim to aresav achatechbats. But many hold no. That's not. You know, different strokes for different folks. You got to be hands on. You got to bring Mashiach. These two ideas really are captured in pasuk aleph and pasuk beis. Pasuk aleph is al mishkavi balay balelos. What's mishkavi? Mishkavi is also a code for the Beis HaKnesses. Hashem's Mishkav is, the Mishkavai is, the Beis HaMikdash. Mishkavi is the Beis HaKnesses, the Mikdash Me'at. That's where Bikashtiv, I'm going to seek the Ribbono Shel Olam. But unfortunately, we know it doesn't always work because Mashiach isn't here. And then there is a different group in Klal Yisrael. And that's the group in Klal Yisrael that says, no, we're not going to just sit around. You got to take a hands-on approach. You got to bring Mashiach, the Poyel. We'll select a candidate. What's so terrible? We'll take the best that we got. Let everyone in Klal Yisrael take a vote.
Just like, just,
what? Well, that's what the pasuk over here says. Asayv over here. What? Shabbos. Well, Shabbos wasn't the real deal. We know that. That we know that after the fact.
Well, we know it's the real deal. You pick somebody and you go off.
Well,
it could be a disaster.
Okay. Well, Shabbos had seen made himself. He wasn't selected. He promoted himself. He wasn't the person that Klal Yisrael came. He was self-appointed, and he was extremely charismatic. We know that he had bipolar, and people are bipolar. bipolar can do unusual things that no one else can do. And also people, maybe he had some kecha kishav, you know, there were some mystical things also about him that he had access to. And he was able to bring great korban to Klal Yisrael, no question. But this pasuk is a new mahalach. Here is a hands-on approach to bring Mashiach. And does this work? Does this work? It doesn't work. It didn't work either. This approach also results in failure. Results in failure. Okay, let's see from the Mitzudos. Pasuk Beis. Akuma no. Okay, going back to Pshat. Azamarti alibi, then I said to myself, I'm now going to go to the city, and I'm going to the city which is surrounded. The city is surrounded by markets and open areas. I'm going to go to the city and try to find my beloved. That's what I did. The Mitzudas learns Pshat the Pasuk, it's not just a plan. It's a plan that came to fruition. I did it. I went to the city. I failed. He was not to be found. Period. What's the Nimshol? How does it apply to Tom of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Va Nimshol hu loymar hinei b'chol hayamim shesovavti b'masos hamidbar. All of the days, the 38 years when we went in the Midbar, we threw the Masos. Ha'isi mechazeres achar ahavoso, I would seek Hashem's love. Avoloi nisratzali, I was unsuccessful. Hashem did not want to return to me. He did not want to take me immediately into the desert. He left me in the desert for 38 years. I was unsuccessful. Even so, here he's touching over here. The circling means the wandering in the desert. The wandering in the desert is what it means. We traveled every part of the desert you can possibly imagine. Gesundheit. The desert is a microcosm of world history. Klal Yisrael has traveled to every corner of the earth. Every country in the world, you'll find a Jew. There's a Chabad house wherever you go. Everywhere. Even in Las Vegas. Even on the moon. Even on the moon. Even in the Vatican. Even in Vatican City. It's true. They have a Chabad house in Vatican City?
It's the same color as the Vatican City.
Right.
No, in Stama, there's no Chabad house in Vatican City.
I'm sure that the
How do you say that?
Okay. But Mestame on the moon, that's why they're planning a mission to Mars. What do you think they're going to do on Mars? Mestame Shachabad house. What?
Chabad house in Crown Heights.
All right. So this is what it says. Bikashiv loy mitzvah. Let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi pasik days. Akumanov ear. Let me rise up. Vavaksha vayichal Moshe el Hashem. Moshe prayed and Moshe ascended to Hashem. Moshe went to Hakadosh Baruch Hu to Akumano, to go up to Shemayim to be mispalel on behalf of our sins. Rashi is not really elaborating. It's pretty much in the theme of what we said previous decay, but the Moshe was mispalel Hashem. Let's take a look over here. What says in the Targum, Pasuk Beis? Pasuk Beis in the Targum. Omrin b'nei Yisrael, Ilein, each member of Klal Yisrael said one to another, Nukum b'nei Yisrael, v'naschar l'mashkan. This is describing the situation when Moshe Rabbeinu, he took his tent, and he distanced himself from Klal Yisrael. So they said to each other, let us go up. V'nei Yisrael, u'naschar l'mashkan, zimna deparse Moshe mibara. Let us go to the oil moed, which Moshe spread for himself mibara, outside of the machne, lemashuisa, to which he spread mibaro lemashuisa, outside of the camp. Let us go outside the machne to have a conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, to beg him to come. Nitba Ulfon, and there we will seek out Torah. Ulfon means Torah, instruction. Min kodam Hashem, from Hashem. Ushechinas kucho de istalak minono, and seek out the Shechina that has departed from us. So again, this is the aftermath of the Chet Egel. The Shechina has departed. Moshe Rabbeinu separated himself from Klal Yisrael. He built for himself some type of minor tent. Again, this was before the time of the Mishkan. There was no Mishkan yet. So Moshe built for himself some type of Ohel Moed, a tent of meeting, where the Shechina was. And Klal Yisrael now says, let's go all the way out there, let's travel out there to Moshe and seek out the Torah and seek out the Shechina. V'chazaru b'kirvan, and we will circle. Here we will circle the city. They circled the cities. Uvifaltaya, uvipisvan. All the three things. They circled the cities, the markets, and the squares, the town squares. The law ashkachu, and they could not find Moshe. So fascinating targum, which opens up a whole new insight into what exactly happened. They couldn't find Moshe. When it says in the pasuk, Moshe yikach es oil v'natulo michutz l'machane, guess what? It was invisible. It was off radar. All the best satellites, all the best technology cannot figure out where Moshe Rabbeinu.
Harchek
ben Amachane. He could not find where he was. It's like foreshadowing that Moshe would die. He would be buried in a place where no one knew where he was. Moshe was able to mysteriously hide himself away from Klal Yisrael. We learned from this Targum that they went to find him. They sent an expeditions to find Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, Rashi, we mentioned before, Rashi said in the last six parasha, Moshe understood that if Hashem distanced himself from Klal Yisrael, it's his duty to also distance himself and to hide himself from Klal Yisrael until Hashem says, you got to go back. Moshe, the time has come, you have to go back, because if you're not going to go back, then there's no way there's going to be any reconciliation. There has to be something. But in the meantime, he was in hiding and no one knew where he went. No one, they sent out expeditions, they went to the cities. I guess there were some cities in the Midbar.
The whole possibility,
yeah, it said that was later. That was when he came back, right?
Those who want to look for him, not everybody maybe felt the need to look for him, but those who really want to find Hashem, you got to search.
You got to search. But that was after Hashem already told him, you have to come make yourself available, you have to reveal your hiding place. But until Moshe revealed his hiding place, he disappeared. He was off the map, off the radar. Yeah, well, Rashi says he understood, yeah, he did on his own, but he understood that this was the right thing to do. If Hashem, minudil arav, minudil atalmid. If you are no longer communicated from the Rebbe, you also have to be removed from the student. Moshe is the student. Hashem is the Rebbe. He disappeared. That's what the Talmud over here says. It's very fascinating. And they tried to search him and he could not.
It was a cloaking device. Yeah.
They could not find him. Okay, now before we go further, there's one other idea, and there's a very strong piece of Musa here, is that if you want to find Hashem, Akumunov Yasoivav Ir, the Pasuk is telling you, you have to search for Hashem. This Pasuk, the previous Pasuk, is in business. In the Ir means when you make money. In the Shvakim is the markets. And the Rechavais. What?
The marketplace.
All the years. If you want to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be honest. You have to be people of integrity. And we tried to be good people, but we acknowledge here in this Pasuk in Golis, we fail. Unfortunately, the headlines of all the newspapers are all the scandals that are headed off by Jews. Jews are very involved in business corruption. The previous pasuk says we're corrupt in religion. These two psukim over here are represent the totality of our failures. In Galus, first al mishkavi in the Beis HaKnesses. Even though we may not be, maybe we're not honest in business, but at least in the Beis HaKnesses, we should be honest. There shouldn't be any scandals in the Beis HaKnesses. There shouldn't be any sinas chinam. The pasuk here says, the first pasuk aleph, al mishkavi, even in the Beis HaKnesses, when we try to daven without talking, not to talk during davening, not to insult people, not to criticize the rabbi, we failed. Al mishkavi balelos bikashdi eishrava nafshi bikashdi v'loy mitzosif. We tried to be good in the Beis HaKnesses, but unfortunately we did not succeed. Pasig Beis, what about in the business world? Were we at least good in the business world? That's not so hard. Where is it harder? Is it harder not to talk during davening, or is it harder to be honest in business? It's probably harder not to talk during davening. Think about it. What's harder?
No,
it depends. No, money is money.
No, what? I don't have a problem. I sit alone.
Okay, well, each one is unique. It's a unique nesayon. But these two psukim present to us the reality that we failed at both. And that's why bikashtiv v'loy mitzasev. In the ear, the shvakim and the rechoiv, we try to be good. Fortunately, we failed.
How we act in public.
Publicly.
Not just business.
Business. But the rechoiv was typically a place of business.
No. You said shvakim.
Is the markets.
That's business.
Okay, you can interpret it in many different ways. It means out in the open. Public relations. How would the public view us? Unfortunately, they don't have a very good we don't have a very good reputation. And in the Mishkavi, the first pasuk means forget about the goyim. Just in the Jewish community itself. Just among us. Are we good to each other? Are we ethical among ourselves? Are we good in bein adam lamakayim? Both of these things we have failed. That's the common message of these two psukim. We take them together. Okay, two psukim. We'll stop here. Tomorrow's pasuk gimel.